translation and purport by Srila Prabhupada. Srila Shukadeva Goswami continued, all the gopis headed by Mother Yashoda were bound by maternal affection. After they thus chanted mantras to protect the child, Mother Yashoda gave the child the nipple of her breast to suck and then got him to lie down on his bed. Purport. When a baby drinks milk from the breast of his mother, this is a good sign of health. So the elderly gopis were not satisfied with chanting mantras to give protection to Krishna. They also tested whether their child's health was in order. When the child sucked the breast, this confirmed that he was healthy. And when the gopis were fully satisfied, they had the child lie down on his bed. I'd like to take this opportunity to relieve some nervousness. Maharaj, please bless me. We can say something useful. So many devotees are older than me, practicing better than me. The mothers, this is a verse for you. A lot of love from the gopis, so please bless me that something useful can come out. We'll just pray to our predecessor teachers for some blessings. Om Ajnana Timirandasya Gyananjana Salakaya Chakshurum Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Guruve Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhistam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupa Kadamayam Dadati Swapadantikam Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shivasari Gaur Bhakta Brinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So I'd like to present a question. When I was had the good fortune of being with His Holiness Chandramouli Maharaj a few days ago, due to some dental issues, and so we were discussing this verse, and he mentioned something. I looked into it, so I found it very interesting. Why did Shukadeva Goswami? I'm going to digress slightly. Why and how did Shukadeva Goswami? He was born, I think, age 16 from his mother's womb. So he came out and then just full of detachment, renunciation, he just departed from his mother and father into the forest. And at no point had the Bhagavatam officially been recited and taught to his son for him to then go and depart to others other than Krishna consciousness in the womb. But they hadn't sat down father to son and had that chat as such. So he's departing, and how is it? What attracted him to come back? How did he learn the Bhagavatam? Anyone? This is described in the Bhagavatam itself. Anyone?
Heard that some children, they were reciting some verses, and it is especially two verses like very much. One describes about the beauty of Krishna, barha pidam natavar papu karanyo karanikaram vibhrad vasra kanaka kapisham vajayantim chamala Randhrana Venu Radhara Purayan Gopa Brinda Ranyam Sapadaramanam Pravishad Girita Girti. This verse he heard, some children were reciting. This describe of the beauty of Krishna. And then another verse, they were from distance he was listening. Aho Bakiyam Stanakala Kutam. This is about the mercy of Krishna. So Sukhdeva Goswami moved forward in the direction of children, and he asked, where did you, such a nice verse, where did you learn from? And our spiritual master, he's teaching us, not only these two verses, rather he has 16,000 verses he has compiled. And then he got, I would like to see your spiritual master. Can he teach me also? He's open for everyone. Why not come? And then he returned back to Sukadeva Goswami and saw that he was with Vyasadeva himself. Mm. And thus again he has studied whole 18,000 verses from his own path. So this one place I describe how he came out. As soon as he came out from the womb of mother, just run away. Sukadeva Goswami, Vedvyasa was trying his little best to stop, be with me. He left, but again he came
back.
And then he learned Srimad Bhagavatam completely.
Thank you, Maharaj. So the class is already successful because Maharaj has nicely explained. So there's, like every aspect of Krishna Leela has a few variations because it's unlimited and it's an ongoing eternal pastime. So it's also described that when Shukadev Goswami was walking away from his mother and father, his mother was overwhelmed with distress. Vyasadev, the father, his duty was, to stay sense-controlled in that moment. And then he could see, he said, "Oh son, where are you going? Come back." But he could sense that Shukadev Goswami was going and he wouldn't be able to attract him back. So he sent two or three disciples to go after Shukadev Goswami. And he said, "Go and recite to him when you find him in the forest two verses. And this I'm sure will attract any living entity to hear more about Krishna." One of those verses is what Maharaj explained about Krishna's beauty, which is, for your reference, 10:21:5. And the other one is from the third canto, chapter 2, 23, which is in relation to Putana. "Alas, how shall I take shelter of one more merciful than he who granted the position of mother to a she-demon, Putana, although she was unfaithful and prepared deadly poison to be sucked from her breast?" So I found it quite amazing that I stumbled across this and at the same time. One of the two verses that the compiler of the Vedas himself thinks is going to attract a living entity to hear more about Krishna is this merciful quality of Krishna in liberating, in giving special liberation to Putana. So then I looked into Putana, and Putana, many of you have heard this before, in her previous life, it may not be chronologically her last life, but in a previous life, she was Ratnamala, the sister of Bali Maharaj. So the scene goes that Vamanadev comes into the assembly of Bali Maharaj, this short dwarf, but exhibiting the super excellent qualities of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. So in that manner, she has maternal affection for this little boy, and she has a desire to offer her breast milk to this boy. But then as we have a few months ago, we finished the pastime of Bali Maharaj. Vamanadev then steals all the opulences away from Bali Maharaj, her brother. And this angers her. So then she wants to kill this boy. So Krishna awards everyone according to their desire. So we also know from inhabitants of the forest in Ram Leela, then they got to become the monkeys and help in that way. So, then they became in Krishna Leela according to their desire. Gopis, yeah. So, what was that? Bali Maharaj. Yes, so then in her next life, Krishna awarded her this position of Putana. Because then here we've read how Putana had put poison on her breast and wanted to kill Krishna, but then she also had that hidden motive from her previous life of wanting to do it in a maternal way. So there was this dual identity within her which she adopted from her previous life. And one comment I'd like to make about this is often when we have exchanges with people, we come across people, we make a very quick perception of them. And I think it only takes a couple of seconds to make a perception of people, research shows. So in doing that, we make a judgment, and often when we're not refined people, that judgment stands forever. That person is Bhakta this, and that person is Mataji this. Regardless of what they do, that's always going to stain or smear our judgment on them. But we can pray to Krishna that he can see the good and ignore the bad in people. And he didn't make a judgment, oh, she's coming with poison in her breast. He's saying, she's coming with maternal affection to me. He's God, so he's omnipotent. He understands that she is also a demoness. So he does that dutiful in the external matter. But in the internal matter, he rewards according to the internal desire. So we also, in our exchanges, we should pray to Krishna that we always seek the good in people and try to overcome or overlook those bad qualities in people. And we can start that with ourselves. Sometimes as devotees, we can become quite depressed with hearing or reading about the great qualities of the Lord and the Acharyas and past devotees. But we should actually take strength from that, and we should gain courage in our own self-introspection and think, well, okay, I have this little thing that Krishna or my guru has given me. Let me work on that and not focus on the bad. So it's also described that because Krishna is all attractive, he attracts anyone, even someone who has the intention to kill him. So all of these demons, they all wanted to kill Krishna due to their past activities. This is Krishna Leela, but we can take the principle. So he attracts everyone. So similar fashion, if we have any bad qualities, we can pray to Krishna. Krishna, often I pray, Krishna, please destroy this. Please remove it, Nrisingadev. We can also please, Krishna, please, you know, attract me in this manner to purify it. Because we may be envious. Well, envy can't be transformed, but we can be lusty, we can be greedy, we can be angry, but all of these things can be repossessed in their pure form when in relation to Krishna. So the principle from this verse, going back to the verse now, is that the gopis want to satisfy Krishna. Initially by the chanting of mantras, and then subsequently by offering breast milk. And similarly, then it shows that Krishna is satisfied by their service of trying to satisfy Krishna. So this principle of that Krishna is satisfied when his devotees try to satisfy him, this is the essence of bhakti. In the Chaitanya Charitamrita, in the Adi Leela, chapter 4, verse 165, Atmendriya priti vanchay tare bhali kaam, Krishna indriya priti icha dhare prema naam. That lust is when the desire is to satisfy one's own senses, and love is the desire to satisfy the senses of Krishna. So Prabhupada gives a really nice purport, and he says, it's best I read that. Excuse me. And for those of us married or associating, we can meditate on this. 165. So Prabhupada goes on to say, the revealed scriptures describe pure love as follows. If there is ample reason for the dissolution of a conjugal relationship, which means the separating of a conjugal relationship, and yet such a dissolution does not take place, i.e. that they stay together, such a relationship of intimate love is called pure. So those married, the penny's dropping. And those of us, like Maharaj, in love with Krishna, the penny is already dropped. So so he goes on to say that the predominated gopis were bound to Krishna in such pure love. For them, there was no question of sexual love based on sense gratification. Their only engagement in life was to see Krishna happy in all respects, regardless of their own personal interest. They dedicated their souls only for the satisfaction of the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna. There was not the slightest tinge of sexual love between the gopis and Krishna. So, in there we can see how the idea is, if you're trying to satisfy Krishna and taking yourself out of the center, this is love. And this is what bhakti is about, it, developing love for Krishna and his devotees. So the topmost example of this, when I was thinking about satisfying Krishna, is this pastime of when Krishna is in Dwarka. And especially Queen Satyabhama, but all the residents of Dwarka are fully aware, but they try to ignore it, shall we say, that Krishna's actually remembering Vrindavan all the time and is in deep separation from Vrindavan. So one day Krishna is having a headache. So then all the devotees around him, his queens, his friends, his ministers, they're all like, oh no, Krishna has a headache, Krishna has a headache. So it becomes a whole thing. You know, imagine your spiritual master has a headache. It's like, we're like, oh God, where's the paracetamol? Okay, but no, in this instance, they're like, Krishna, what can we do for you? So Krishna says, I need the dust from the lotus feet of one of my devotees on my head. That will get rid of my headache. Jai Radha Gopala Nanda Ki Jai. Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Ki Jai. Shishi Gaur Nithai Ki Jai. So he's requested, Krishna here in Dwarka is requested, can someone please give me the dust from their lotus feet on my head? Now, I know if I asked, no one would, but if Srila Prabhupada did, many of us would consider, oh, I've got some service of Prabhupada, but then there would be that anxiety of like, hold on, usually every morning I'm taking the dust from his feet, putting it on my head. That would be a bit perturbed if I then swipe my feet and then go up on the altar and put it on Prabhupada's head. What to speak of the Supreme Personality of Godhead? Now, the residents of Dwarkas have that Aishwarya, so they actually know that Krishna is supreme. Yes, they have interaction with him and they have personal engagements with him, but they still have that Aishwarya. So then different devotees are going to different devotees and saying, will you give me some dust? No, Krishna's got a headache. No, please, look, it's for Krishna's benefit. And everyone's like, oh, yeah. They want to say yes because they want to do the service, but then they're stuck by Vedic injunction, by laws, by fear of sin. So ultimately they go around all the different devotees and then someone says, Krishna says, why don't you go and ask the gopis in Vrindavan? They'll do it. They'll do anything for me. So by this time the assembly had thought, but who would ever dream of putting the dust on the feet of Krishna, their worshipable Lord? So I can't remember who it was, but someone went to the gopis and asked, Vidura went to Braja and asked the gopis, will you, and without a shadow of a doubt, they just gave it. So this complete commitment and this absolute obsession in doing whatever it takes to satisfy Krishna's needs is bhakti in its ultimate form. It was Narada Muni. So one of Krishna's very close devotees went to Braja and asked, and we think it's Narada Muni. So it's probably sounds like a Narada Muni thing to go and do. So, but this we can meditate on this. I was thinking of it yesterday when I heard about it, and then before chanting my japa, I was also thinking like, okay, well, I'm not going to be there anytime soon, but let me pray to the Braja gopis that may I get a drop of their obsession in satisfying Krishna, and for a moment in my wretched life can I forget about satisfying my senses. That's another inspiration, hopefully. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur, in his Sartha Darshanari commentaries of the Bhagavatam, he comments about the concept of bandha or bondage. On this verse 30, he talks about that there's two types of bondage. Bondage by affection to gratifying our senses, which is called prasanga bandha. And then there's pranaya bandha, which is bondage by affection to Krishna. He elaborates that this point here, that the gopis, they are offering prayers of protection by these mantras that the previous verses have described. A very interesting point is that they're saying, O Govinda, O Madhava, O, where are they? Rishikesh, O Hayagriva, Oh Keshava, please protect, from different angles, my son. But these are the names of the very person that who needs to be protected. Now at this age, Krishna doesn't have a name. He's just called, Maharaj will know better, but Lala, Nandalal, Yashodalal, and these type of baby names. The Namkaran hadn't been taken place. Is that correct, Maharaj? So he didn't have a name as such, but yet, so if he didn't have a name and these are his names, how do they know the names of Govinda? And how comes these names are already there? So it's described how everything is eternal. The material world is eternal as well. It's just manifest and unmanifest. The spiritual world is eternal. So Krishna's names are eternal as well, because he is. But then for his pastimes in this world, at a particular point of time for our understanding of the pastime, a name is given, and that's like in conjunction and chronology of his pastime, the Namkaran ceremony. But these names are already there. Now it's described by Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur that the gopis had full firm conviction in the Vedic injunctions, and thus they believed that it's only by the Kal and by Vishnu's holy names that protection can be applied to this baby Krishna. So thus they got the, is it yak tail? The cow tail to wave over baby Krishna, and also these mantras that of Vishnu's names that have been prescribed. And they're very powerful. So for those of you who haven't read them, when we had our Namkaran for my little Giriraj, my son, the priest was saying them and explaining them, and they're actually very reassuring to the parent. That's so much protection from so many different possible angles, angles we don't even think about. The Lord is protecting us. So they did all of this attempt, but still, but then they were overtaken by the pranaya bandha, this affection for just this, in a simple way, their little baby. This affection of, let's just do something practical for my son. It's kind of how we sometimes go on the common denominator. It's just, all right, Prabhu, that's cool, but just do something. So similarly, they were doing many things, but then ultimately by affection, they thought the best thing is let's just check if he's fine by breastfeeding him. So breast milk is an interesting thing. I was speaking with a doctor who was helping me to understand it. It's milk, it's blood that carries nutrients, but then a particular hormone is secreted at the time of birth into the mammary gland of the lady's breast, which then converts those nutrients into milk. And it's described there's always sufficient amount of milk for the baby. Whether the baby and the mother and the whole accepting happens or not, that's a separate issue, but there's always milk is produced. I asked Chandramouli Maharaj, I had heard that generally women in Braja were breastfeeding Krishna. So like, I was thinking like, how does that happen here in London or in the material world? Does any woman just breastfeed any child? And does that mean if a lady says, oh, I love your son, but she can't breastfeed, does that mean they don't love? And the clarity is you can only breastfeed if you have a breastfeeding child yourself. So that kind of clarified a doubt in my mind. So going back to Vishwanath's point is that the pranaya bandha overtook that following of Vedic injunctions. And this is the ultimate goal of bhakti, is that ultimately we need to come to a point where just affection and simple-hearted love overrules all of the mechanics of what we may learn in sadhana. Now, it's the very sadhana that gets us there, and Vishwanath explains that from to go to prasanga to pranaya bandha, we have to come to sadhu seva bandha, attachment or bondage to serving the Vaishnavas. Because by them, we get their blessings and we get to learn from them of how they are affectionate to Krishna. So I was remembering a pastime, I can say this because she's not here, Mother Kalangana, of how she's just very, very simple-hearted, affectionate lady for Krishna. She's just abundance of affection. And I was doing pujari service in the kitchen, deity kitchen, and she was there. And this little food processor thing that she makes the sun dish in. It was just going round and round and round. And it was funny because I was on the other side cutting vegetables, and she was just like staring at this thing just going round and round and round. She kind of looked a little bit hypnotized by the whole thing. It's just like round and round and round. And I was thinking, she's not chanting. She's like, she's just looking at this thing go round and round and round. And I'm looking at her going, looking at it going round and round and round. So I'm like completely bewildered. I'm like, you know, I know she's a pure devotee, but like, it's just going round and round and round. It's nothing to this, you know. But then your Eastern European devotee comes in, I forget his name, S, who makes milk sweets. Huh? Sasha Bindu, yeah, he comes in. And then they're talking, and she says, isn't it amazing how sweet Krishna is? This is just after the round thing. And I'm thinking, wow, all of that time she was meditating on Krishna and how sweet Krishna was. And this is a mother. A mother has to do all the work. They have to cook, they have to clean, and all of the... Oh, Haribo! Mother Kalangana ki! this devotee was thinking about how sweet Krishna was. And the mother, similarly, they're doing their activities, or pure devotee is doing all of their seemingly activities, but they're always absorbed in meditation on Krishna. I'll finish on a point that I heard about child protection from one devotee online, Rohini Nandan Prabhu, Rohini Priya Prabhu, sorry. In the Srimad Bhagavatam chapter 1, chapter 8, in the Purport, Prabhupada explains that child protection of the four people that need protection is very important, because the human life is very rare and is the only form of life in which we can make the inquiries about the absolute truth. Why are we here? What is upstairs? Why does this happen? All of these type of questions. So there's two forms of child protection, external and internal. Externally, and this can be this protection of anything, but we're going to concentrate on child protection. Externally, we want to make sure that the baby's body is taken care of, clothes, warm, environment, food, and things like that. Internally, it's more to do with the well-being of the mind and the soul. So there's three aspects of internal protection. And Jiva Goswami gives the example of food. So there's satisfaction, which is tushti, sustenance, which is pushti, and peace, which is virakti. So Jiva Goswami explains that when we take some food in, that's the external thing, but as soon as it goes in, we're satisfied by it. Once we're satisfied by it, then we get sustenance. Our limbs, we feel stronger. Like imagine a Neil Jali Kardashi, and then you finally have something at the end. You feel like, oh, phew, okay, it can go more. Or when you're in the pujari room and you're just thirsty, 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 and then you have some water afterwards, you feel like you've got a few more hours in you. So you've got some sustenance. And then you're peaceful. Because you're peaceful, because then Jiva Goswami explains that once you're full, once your tummy's full, there's no more desire to eat. You can actually detach from the idea of eating. We've all had it when there's a feast, and then at the end you're like, I'm not going to eat for now. Like, I'm done for the day. So that peace. But then Jiva Goswami explains, this doesn't happen when it's in relationship to Krishna, though. Because Krishna is ever expanding. We can never become fully satiated in relationship to Krishna, because his glories keep expanding, his pastimes keep expanding, and similarly, we have to keep chasing. There's no such thing as, I've surrendered. You say that on day one when you join, but after that, it's a process of, I keep surrendering, and the gopis keep on surrendering. Radharani keeps surrendering. It's a continual, eternal dialogue of service between Krishna and his devotee. So within this internal aspect, devotee Rohini Priya Prabhu went on to explain that how can we then protect our Krishna consciousness, which is the essence of what we can learn from this verse, how the gopis are, where are we, verse 13? The gopis are so attached to Krishna that they ultimately just want to do what they think is the best for him and satisfy him, which is as a mother breastfeed him. So how can we protect whatever we've acquired and whatever we will acquire in our Krishna consciousness? Externally, philosophical intelligence. We need to understand good from bad. We need to understand what is the right thing to do and how to progress further. We need to do devotional service to purify ourselves and to please the Vaishnavas. And we need to have good sadhana so that we can remove the dirt from our heart and have more faith in the... So this external aspect of protecting our sadhana, the philosophical understanding is that one has to philosophically understand transcendence. Unfortunately, Prabhu, if I was to try to explain what is transcendence, I think we'd all miss breakfast. If
you put cold iron rod in the fire, it takes on the same nature.
Quality, yeah. Thank you very much, Prabhu. Prabhu here is explaining how the transcendental nature is attained. If you put cold iron into fire, it absorbs the quality of the iron and becomes just like that. Thank you so much. So just to clarify, so protecting our Krishna consciousness, that bhakti seed, externally, philosophically, service and sadhana, internally, introspection and samskars. So child protection actually starts way before the child is born with garbhadhan samskar, with that initial seed into the child, and then so many other samskars. And in terms of our own individual bhakti seed is introspection. Once I was with Sutapa Prabhu in Leicester, and we were having a chat, and I asked him, I said, what do you think is the biggest lack in our movement? And when I've asked people this before, usually they say, or often I've heard that they say that we vowed for 16 rounds, 4 regulative principles, but we never vowed to read. We're supposed to, but we never vowed to read. So that continual connection with Prabhupada's purports, with Krishna, with the philosophy is missed. And then it's just a matter of us and a few ram-rams here and there, which then makes spiritual life dry. So Sutapa very maturely said, in my opinion, that the shortcoming in our movement and amongst the devotees he sees is that there's no vow to introspect. We don't like reflect and meditate on either Krishna or ourselves, our devotional progress, our devotional service. I thought that was very mature, because I definitely, when one is in the mode of passion and ignorance, there's no encouragement, there's no tendency towards introspection. But this introspection, as Rohini Priya Prabhu said, is the key to protecting internally our bhakti, because then you're always keeping, as you said, Prabhu, you're always thinking, how hot is the iron rod? How much deeper do I have to put it? Where do I need to put it next? Who can help me maneuver my iron rod into the fire more? So like that, these are a few points that I thought of when looking into this verse. I'd like to just finish 2 minutes on a few qualities of Sita Thakurani, who is the eternal consort of Advaita Acharya. And it's quite fitting that today we're speaking about the affection of a mother for her child, for baby Krishna. And Sita Thakurani was the, shall we say, the elder mother of Nimai. She's the one who actually gave Lord Chaitanya the name Nimai. Lord Chaitanya was born under a neem tree. So she gave the name Nimai, but also she gave it because she wanted to protect Nimai from the evil spirits and things that were going on in Navadvip. It was a very popular in tantric activities at that time. Sachimata and Jagannath Mishra, whenever there was a ceremony for one of the samskars for Nimai, Sita Thakurani would be the first person to be making the offerings, because Advaita Acharya was how much older? 40 years older than Lord Chaitanya. So then similarly, Sita Thakurani was the elder in that community. It's described in the Ganadesh Dipika that Sita Thakurani is Yogamaya, but then elsewhere it's described that she's Purnamasi. So Unless, Maharaj, you have a verdict, it's one of those things. Same, yeah. Yeah, so she's Yogamaya Purnamasi. So she has this nature of protecting Krishna from evil, from unwanted people, which is what Yogamaya does, and also keeps Krishna's devotees from really understanding Krishna's Aishwarya so that they can interact intimately with him. So I'd like to end just that. I think it's amazing how in this bhajan that every day is sung in Sridhar Mayapur, that Sita Thakurani is like the only feminine name in the bhajan. So she holds a very, very powerful position in our lineage. So we can pray today to Lord Chaitanya, to Nimai, that may we, may he beg, may he allow Sita Thakurani or Yogamaya to protect our seed of bhakti so that we can develop this affectionate bondage to Sri Krishna. And the best way to do this is by developing affection for serving Krishna's devotees. Thank you so much for your attention. Forgive me for any offenses, Maharaj. Thank you so much for your contribution. Does anyone have any corrections, or any comments or questions?